When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Do you ever get the sense that something or someone is pulling you out of the boat you're in? You ever feel like maybe the way you're living or the place you're in is not all that God has in store for you? So this morning we're going to talk about calling, those times when we hear that small voice from God that says, "This is not all there is. I want to lead you into more." And a calling is when we realize we can't stay in the boat anymore. We have to step out in faith toward Christ, even if that takes us onto uncharted waters. Catherine Wells is one of our sisters in Christ here, and she can clearly recall a time when she felt that push from God, calling her to live in a new way. And Catherine is sharing with us as part of our new sermon series. It's a series we're calling What Matters Most? Life Lessons from Those Who've Been There, where we interview the ordinary saints among us, the brothers and sisters sitting beside you in these chairs, those people who have been on the mountaintop of faith and down in the valley and out onto troubled waters. And because of that, they have deep wisdom to share. So I'll let Catherine begin.
I had actually served in the Air Force for 12 years when I had a car accident that landed me with a medical discharge. And I was fortunate enough to land a permanent position at the White House and worked in the IT department of the Executive Office of the President. So it actually started with a sermon. The pastor Steve, our pastor at the church at the time, did this sermon where he was talking about our calling, actually. And he was talking about how so many times when we have this conversation about calling, we think of it as something for ordained ministry or for just select people. And he went in to talk about how everybody could be living out God's calling on their life through their vocation as well as through other ways, whether it was volunteerism, whether it was their role in their family, whether it was their role in their community, whatever it was, but that we could all rest assured that God had a higher calling for each of us. And I was really shaken by that. And actually, I left service crying, which for those who know me know that that's often something that I do. And the tears were because it shook me so much. So that was what planted the seed. Fast forward a couple years, actually, and I had started to kind of wonder, and my family had just a very difficult time, was really what it was. My mom asked if I would come help her, and I almost said no, because I had an important meeting at work. But I left, and I went down there. A lot of it was me just holding my mom and just being with her in this place of deep turmoil and upset and pain. And when I got home back to Maryland, I called in sick the next day. And when Brian got home from work on Monday, I told him, "I have to quit. I can't keep doing this. I'm serving the wrong master," was what I told him. And it was a realization that I almost didn't go be there for my mother and my family in this very difficult time because I had a really important meeting that to this day, I can't tell you what that meeting was about. And so I walked into the office and tendered my resignation. And so that was it, and that was the theme, was that I was serving the wrong master. And the definition of who that master was morphed over time when I got really honest. And some of it was I was serving, there was the financial side of things, there was ego, myself and others, and yet I knew that that wasn't what God was calling me to do, that he wanted me to use my gifts differently. I just didn't know how.
so easy to serve the wrong master, you know? Like, my favorite master is control. That's the God I worship. And if not that one, then fear. I bow before fear. But it could be any master, like she said, you know, money, family expectations, comfort, reputation. You know, these are the voices that call to us, and we let them determine our calling. We let those voices set us on a path. But what if we didn't? What if we silenced all those voices long enough to ask God, where would you have me go? And Catherine's right that this is a calling for each of us. It doesn't require the word reverend before your name. Jesus called fishermen to put down their nets and follow him. He called wounded people to take up their mat and walk. He called rich men to sell all their possessions and give the money to the poor. And he called a frightened disciple out of the boat and onto the water. So what does his calling look like in the 21st century? Let's hear from Catherine again as she recounts what happened next.
Somewhere along the way, I started volunteering at the church office. Had a great relationship with Pastor Steve, our pastor there, and shared with him my search for what was next. I just kept looking and nothing was coming up. So it was getting nearer to January when I was supposed to be going back to work, yet I wasn't convinced that I was supposed to actually stay in the profession that I was in. I had been praying this whole time for God to reveal what it was. Turned to God and said, what will you have me do? If this isn't the right master, then who is? It must be you. So I spent several months of silence in the prayers. I never heard anything in return. And out of, honestly, frustration of not hearing anything, I said one day in my prayer, God, if you just tell me, please just tell me anything. I don't care what it is. Just tell me what it is. And no matter what, I will follow. So from that day forward, I repeated that prayer regularly, daily, sometimes several times a day, that I will do and I will go where you lead. And I was in the church office one day, and a woman walked in to see the pastor. Her name was Terrell, and I did not know her, although we went to the same church. It was a relatively large congregation, and I did not know her. But what I did know about her was that she was around my age, and that she was actively dying from cancer, and that they had reached the end of clinical possibility for her, and that she was just valiantly living out her life with her husband and young son, and had been coming to see Pastor Steve as part of that. And when she walked in the front door of the church office and saw me, she leaned back against the door and looked at me and said, "Oh my God, it's you." And I'd never had such a greeting, and she kind of turned a little ghostly white. And so I got up and introduced myself to her, and she said, "You don't know me, and I don't know you, but we have to talk." And I said, "Okay." And Terrell said, I don't know how to tell you this, and you can't ask me any questions because I don't have any answers. What I'm about to tell you is everything that I know. I'm not leaving any details out. But I meditate and I pray in my meditations, and in one of my meditations, I had a vision of you, and God told me specifically that I'm supposed to tell you that you are to be in the healing arts. And we all just kind of sat there gobsmacked. Like, what do you say to that? She had a hard time believing what she had experienced until she physically saw me and knew that I was a real person, that this was an actual something. There was something so godly about it, that it was so overwhelming that it was believable. And it was, yes, I will be in the healing arts, absolutely. And Nancy, the other woman who was there, just offhandedly said, there's a school over in the next town over. Google the word Thai, T-A-I, and you'll see it. Just when you get home tonight, just go look at it. And so I left the church office, actually. I couldn't stay at work. I had to go. And what I found out later was Steve understood, because Steve had known some of my struggle to find and to search. I had not shared with him my change of prayer, but I had shared with him that I was looking for something. And of course, Terrell had shared with him previously about this vision. So she had actually wrestled with it for several months, not knowing whether she would have, that she would have the strength to actually tell the person, because she didn't know who it was. You know, it was just a face. And apparently that day when she saw me, God gave her all the courage that she needed. So when I got home that night, I Googled Thai Laurel, the town, this school came up and I clicked on it, and the banner across the top of the screen said Thai Sophia, a school of the healing arts. and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and it was beautiful. It was amazingly powerful, and I knew in that moment that that was my future. I just thought, wow, this is just crazy enough, and I told God I would go wherever, and this really seems to be where wherever is. You can't ignore that.
Mm-mm. You can't ignore the knock of God when it comes. We had to leave that in there. Catherine's story is so beautiful and so filled with miracle. And yet the greatest miracle in it is not that a dying woman had a vision from God that she wanted to share with a stranger before she was gone. The miracle is not that Catherine received a divine word that she, Air Force White House Catherine, would go into the healing arts. No. The miracle to me is that Terrell prayed, and Catherine prayed, and Pastor Steve prayed. And they prayed because of Jesus. They had a relationship with the Son of God, an ongoing, everyday relationship that never left them, not through car accident or cancer diagnosis or job resign. Jesus had invited them into relationship with him, and they had said yes to that call, which is the only call that matters. Their yes to Jesus is what opened up everything that came after. You know, when I reread that part of our scripture from this morning, I actually left out an important line. So after the disciples see Jesus walking on water and they cry out in fear, and after Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," Peter doesn't get out of the boat. First, he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Command me to come to you if it is you." You don't need to know if you can walk on water. You just need to know if Jesus is asking you to. You don't need to know if the current is right or if there's a strong wind. You don't need to know where you're headed. You just need to know if you're walking toward Jesus. I mean, the call is important, yes, but the who behind the call, that's the key. And Catherine didn't need to know if she could enter the healing arts, if she could become a licensed acupuncturist and open her own business. She needed to know that it was Jesus calling. And the fishermen with their nets and the tax collector in his booth and the short man in the tree, they didn't need to know anything except that they were headed for Jesus. So if you get the sense that God might have more in store for you, and you're ready to let this relationship take you where he pleases, then let's hear one last word from Catherine from when I asked if she had any advice for a congregation trying to figure out our calling.
I do. stay with it. It's uncomfortable, and it's oftentimes it's a wrestling match. But stay with the uncomfortableness, sit with it, write about it, explore it, paint it, whatever it is, mow it, who cares what you do with it, but do something with it to really see what it is that it's trying to say. But it's the wrestling and the figuring it out and the praying on it that will bring that greatest bit of clarity to where you know. And when the storms come, which they will, you know that the path that's been laid before you is lit by the hand of God.
Our calling may lead us into troubled waters, but the path that's been laid before us is lit by the hand of God. That's all that matters. Whose hand lit the path? Whose voice issues the call? And I pray that every one of us in this room will say yes to a relationship with Jesus, yes for the first time or yes again, that all of us in this room will say yes to his call and get out of the boat. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, that you do not leave us in our comfort zones, but you push and you prod until we get out of the boat to follow you. Because, Lord, we know that is the place of true freedom. That is the place where we flourish as your children, out of the boat, onto those rough waters, but heading toward you. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would fill the heart of every person in this room, that you would warm our hearts with your love, and yes, Lord, that you would speak a clear calling into our lives, that the people we would be when we leave this place would be different, that we would be faithful to you. Amen.